Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
It seems like the NFL is trying to use Jay-Z's immense cultural capital to get back in with a community that frankly feels a little ambivalent about them because of the way that they treated Colin Kaepernick.
Kneeling was not about a job. It was about injustice. Let me bring attention to injustice.
Dale Arnold.
What a hoodie at?
I mean, I graded out 99%. One pump return rep.
I know the guy was real fast. I went 100%.
Rich Keefe.
You have cowboy boots?
Oh, hell no.
They're sort of impractical here.
And you looked funny.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Rich will be back next week. In fact, we'll be down at Gillette Stadium for Patriots Monday. I think you're going to join us, Andy.
It's the word on the street, baby.
I think you and Rich and I will be at Gillette. And then Tuesday and Wednesday of next week is our annual Labor of Love. The WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon will be broadcasting live from Fenway Park both days. All the shows, Greg Hill's show, our show, OMF. We'll have the games, obviously, but even post-game, we will all be involved. I know Tom Brady is calling into the show on Tuesday,
yes.
The Greg Hill show.
Mm-hmm.
I know Brock Holt is going to join us Tuesday. There might not, in fact, I will say unequivocally, there is no athlete who has done more for the Jimmy Fund in recent memory than what Brock Holt has done. And so he'll be joining. And OMF's got a huge guest list as well. I think Terry Francona is going to call into our show at some point. One of my favorite people ever. And it'll be a blast.
Yeah,
so that's all coming up next week.
It's the coolest thing by far that this station does.
Not even close. Everything else is way in second place.
As a longtime listener and now short-time employee of the station, it's one of the more interesting listens that you can ever have. Because if you're a parent and you're listening when you talk to some of these parents and some of these kids and some of these doctors, it's awesome and just heart-wrenching all at once.
I remember the first year I did it, I was scared to death because I thought this is going to be so depressing. I mean,
right.
This is going to be such a downer. It was just the opposite. I mean, you're inspired by these people, by the kids, the parents, the doctors, the nurses. It was the exact opposite of what I expected going in.
It allows you to, like I think Andy said, is kind of take a little bit of self-reflection of what's going on in your life and going, you know what?
Maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah,
right.
I shouldn't be complaining about this and I shouldn't be complaining about that. And that's, you know, when you have these opportunities to do a lot of different things. And at the end of the day, right, doesn't it all kind of touch us all?
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's family members that have dealt with it, you know, or friends, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's a way to do your part and give back a little bit and put a smile on somebody's face.
I mentioned OMF on Tuesday. Gary Tanguay is going to check in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's been battling cancer. It was treated earlier this year. Mookie Betts and Chris Sale will be on OMF. Wick Grosbeck will be there. Chris Berman is going to join the show, who with his daughter Meredith has undergone treatment at Dana-Farber. So that will all be going on. And that's Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. We got a few days to get to that. I mentioned this to the guys during the commercial break, and I just saw it as a note on Twitter. I didn't know about this. I guess Ryan O'Callaghan is going to be on E60 this Sunday. And if the name sort of sounds familiar, but maybe not to you, a former member of the New England Patriots, was an offensive lineman here. He played for several seasons here, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. He was a starting caliber player for a span here at right tackle.
He's doing an interview on E60 on Sunday in which he's going to talk about being a gay man playing in the National Football League. He was not out when he was here with the Patriots. I'm not sure if he came out until after he retired.
Yeah, it was a while. There was an extended time period before he came out.
But he will tell in the interview, he will say he was certainly gay while he was here. He was gay before he got here, before he became a professional football player. And I'm not sure what the direction of the interview is going to be or what he's looking to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about this off the air. Wiggy, I promise you played with gay people in the NFL, and there are gay people in the NFL now.
Yeah, and you know, it's and like you said, unless it's a Michael Sam situation where he came out.
Right.
You know, it's based on what you want to do, your personal preference. And I think that there would be the majority of guys wouldn't have an issue. But I've always been honest, and I've said there's always going to be a couple guys in there that are going to feel a little bit like, well, wait a second, you know, whether it's, you know, there are some people are just real religious and they might not believe in it or whatever it may be. And I think that's why you see a lot of players wait till they're done playing to come out afterwards. And I think it's just in not just in football, but in all sports. You know, we've seen a few guys come out in basketball. I forget who was the guy who came out in basketball. Last name was, I believe it's Williams.
Yeah, Jason?
Yeah, maybe? Jason Williams. Right? Yeah. I think he might even play for the Celtics at one point in time. I'm not really sure. But you'll see that a lot of guys, because it's just, you know, that maybe is when they feel like the most comfortable or whatnot. I'm always wondering who will be the first big, you know, name.
Superstar. Right.
To do it, to come out
while they're playing.
While they're still playing, and while they're still playing at an extremely high level.
Yeah, and I think the other aspect is football's a little different, too, where here more than any place, but in a lot of places, distractions and personal issues are all pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. It's about us 53, you know, all the kind of tying it into war and battle and
we're
us against
Cincinnati.
The world and all
right.
that. So there's even less room, I think, mm-hmm. in football than in some of the other sports. But I did want to mention, part of the story with Ryan O'Callaghan that'll be told on Outside the Lines
yep.
and ties into, I don't know if you saw.
I thought it was E60.
E60.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
One of their outlets on ESPN.
Yes.
The 49ers female assistant coach, Katie, and I don't know if it's Sowers or Sowers.
Mm-hmm.
She had an interview recently with Christine Leahy, who used to be here in Boston.
Yep.
She works for Fox Sports now, has sort of her own interview show. And both
Jason
of these,
Collins, by the way, was the
Jason
player.
Jason Collins.
Yeah,
that's
Jason
it.
Collins. Both of these cases, Sowers and Ryan O'Callaghan, Scott Pioli played a role.
Okay.
Sowers was early on interning and was around Scott Pioli a lot, around him a lot, around with her girlfriend.
Right.
But they didn't, you know, there was no conversation that she's a lesbian, that she has a girlfriend, anything. And at one point, apparently Scott Pioli asked her, who's that, you know, girl who's always hanging out with you? And she kind of mm-hmm. half-heartedly told him that's, I think it was, may have been her fiance even.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, why didn't you tell me before this? And,
right.
And like the ice was broken and it was like this free release for her that he was open-minded to it. He took a similar approach to Ryan O'Callaghan. I believe Ryan O'Callaghan went to Kansas City with Scott Pioli after he left
yes,
here
he did.
In New England.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott Pioli is tied into both these stories as sort of an open-minded advocate
well,
for these people.
And I think in, you know, at least just only knowing football, but I think there a lot of athletes would be open and welcoming to a guy if he was to come out, you know, and said, like, because there was really no issue with Michael Sam, at least from what we know, right?
Right.
He just couldn't play.
Yeah, but we
at the NFL
right,
level.
But we never heard any issues of him having problems with teammates or something like that. So I think, you know, most guys would be welcoming to bringing, you know, opening the locker room and saying, hey, listen, you know what? Whatever you want to do, that's your decision. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's the biggest thing. But it's all about the person. You know what I mean? And what the person thinks mentally. Can they do that? Do they feel like that's going to happen? And I think there are a lot of, you know, when you think about people who are just fans of the game, I think a lot of people think that locker rooms wouldn't be welcoming for somebody if they came out.
Ryan O'Callaghan did not come out publicly when he was with the Patriots.
Right.
I wonder if he ever confided in a coach.
I don't know.
I wonder if he ever said, you know, just so you know. I mean, in his case, it would have been Dante Scarnecchia would be his immediate position coach or the offensive coordinator or maybe even Bill Belichick. I don't know the answer. I wonder if he ever did when he was here if he was so concerned.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so because all you could do is maybe put yourself and try to think about what he's thinking about at the time. What gain will, you know, what will be the positive gain for me doing this, right, at that specific time? If he tells a coach or if he tells one of his teammates or something like that he feels like he has a relationship with, he's got to be thinking what could be, you know, the game. Maybe he's just the weight off his shoulder or something to that effect.
Be himself.
Right.
Be honest.
But he's only able to be honest with that person. You know what I'm saying? So he's still not to really, he's still not able to be who he wants to be.
I'll be curious if he says, for instance, that he confided in a teammate. He confided in a coach sometime.
My guess is no, just because I think that's one of those things where you've created in your own mind, whether fair or not, that you have to keep this secret secret.
Right.
So the first person you tell, there's a chance, you know, the how that works. It just snowballs and then it's out there. Your career's over. Your life's over. Things of that nature. And my guess is that's why he's doing it, just to show, hey, listen, I played with Tom Brady. I played for Bill Belichick. Like, you're in this internalized world, you young high school football player who you know you're gay. You've realized I'm definitely gay. You know, you can make it. Let's find a way. And that doesn't mean I'm telling you to come out, by the way.
Right.
Because I don't think he would do that, because I think that's just such a personal, individualized decision that you need to make within the confines of your community, your team. There are some teams, my guess is, it would not fly.
Right.
I think there are some teams where it would be perfectly fine. The head coach created an environment, the quarterbacks, whatever. The leaders have created an environment. So I just think it's a support system. I made it through. You can make it through, too.
What's fascinating to me, and I want to see this. When is it coming on again?
Sunday.
What's fascinating to me is, like, you know, because you have to think, right? He has to keep this secret, right? He has to kind of, you know, put on a show for a lifestyle or a way he's not, right? So what's interesting is to...
Yeah, if guys in a locker room are joking about, oh, did you see that girl?
And, right.
Well, so, and he sort of feels like he has to play along. Right.
And so what's interesting to me is, like, you know, and now in his case, he'll be able to talk about a little bit, is how guys do it. Because it's always like, you know, and I know this is completely different, but my locker used to be right next to Darren Chopper. You know, and we all know what happened with Darren Chopper and everything.
But now, did you ever have a hint?
No.
That he was that kind of a person?
Not one hint. Not, and I know
there were never any of these. God,
no.
That sounded
and
weird.
I know, and, yeah, I, right. And I know the Ryan O'Callaghan situation is completely different, right?
Right.
But just that of being able to keep this lifestyle or keep, you know, private and be able to kind of show a completely different side. Like with Darren Chopper, I hung out with the dude, and it was like, I would have never thought in a million years, you know, that this guy was doing some of the things that he did. So it'll be interesting to see about how he'll talk about, you know, how he had to kind of hide that life from everybody, you know, whether it's hanging out with
and
guys.
Why he felt he had to.
Right. And, you know, hanging out with the rest of the linemen and this, that, and the other, and, you know, and what are they like? You know, I think maybe somebody says, hey, you know, think of her, you know.
Right. Or they're going to a strip club or they're doing these things that he's really not interested in.
Right.
Really not enjoying. But it's kind of part of the life I lead right now. So to keep the facade up, you got to go with it.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see. But I would really like to see the day that somebody actually says, you know what? This is when I want to do it. And I'm at the, you know, right in the height of my career. Or,
And I won't stick a name on it because that would be unfair. But what you're saying is a guy who's a superstar in any league today.
Right.
He's at the top of his game.
Or he's a top five pick, you know, and he's coming out and he's coming out of college or wherever it may be. And he just, you know, and he says, enough of me hiding who I am.
And we're trending in that direction. I mean, you've gotten to the thing where a lot of or I won't say a lot of, but there's been a decent amount of, like, high school valedictorians that have come out during their valedictorian speech. Like, I've hid this, but, you know, whatever, and they felt comfortable that was the time. You're going to have that at some point when these athletes are reaching sort of their most, I'm on top of the world. So now's the time I'm doing it, because you know what? There ain't nothing you can do to me right now. I just won the Super Bowl. I'm the MVP. And, oh, by the way, I'm gay.
And I think things are changing now because of society where, you know, when you start to think about, you know, just about the whole, you know, LGBTQ community and how things have moved forward, right? In the sense of people are coming out a lot earlier now, right? When you think about it versus when I was in high school. Now you go, you know, people are, they come out, you know, 16, 17 years old. They're open about who they are. They're not hiding it as much because it's not really looked at. I mean, at least I don't look at it as a bad thing. It's not looked at it how it used to be.
I was going to say, from a generational point of view,
right?
Young people don't care.
Right. And so that
it means nothing.
So that
they
might
say, okay, so what?
So that might allow that athlete, it might not be 5 or 10 years, but maybe 15, 20 years down the road, who is, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner, who's going to be a top 5 overall pick, and says, you know what, I'm not, you know, I'm living who I, I'm going to live my best life.
And I think sometimes there are financial or career considerations, but we may be reaching a point where, you know, Colin Kaepernick is an outcast in the NFL, but he's doing okay with Nike. And Nike's consumers are clearly supporting that. Whereas now you may say some quarterback, you know, point guard says, I'm a star. Plus, my focus group where I can make a lot of money, they want to target these young, open-minded people as partners. I can get endorsements. Maybe not. I'll lose them. I'll actually gain endorsements because I'm attractive to a certain modern audience.
But like you said, there'll still be those teams that are like, you know, living in the Stone Age.
Oh, yeah,
like,
but
yeah, I'm, no.
That's happened all along, whether it's race and, you know, the last teams to have their first African-American player or all black starting lineup and this and that. Like, there's a process there.
Right.
And when you have 32 businesses or teams, there's going to be some that are ahead of the curve and some that are, you know, okay, everybody else is doing it. Now's a comfortable time. And then there's going to be some that are behind the curve.
Right.
I should realize that not everybody would know, because somebody on the text machine said, what did Darren Sharper do? And I understand not everybody knows. He got 18 years. For drugging and raping women.
It was Bill Cosby. You know, drugging and...
Serial rapist.
Yeah, he was a serial rapist. And it like I said, with Darren Sharper, I would have never in a million years, you know... It wasn't like, because if you ever seen Darren Sharper, it wasn't like he couldn't... He was a single guy that didn't have no problem getting women. He had money. He had a home on a condo down in South Beach. So, like, it wasn't like, you know, you would think of, like, if people were like, well, let me see what this Darren Sharper looks like. I mean, this guy's got to be, you know, a monster.
An outcast.
Yeah.
So it was a monster. He just didn't look
like that. Right. And that's the thing. And you sit back. He's a pro bowler. He's playing at the highest level. And it's like, really?
That's why you never really know.
You asked me the question, Dale. When I heard it, I was like, I had to call people up that I was like, that were teammates with me in Minnesota when I was there with D Shop. Like, you hearing this?
Did anybody say, yeah, I kind of had suspicions?
No.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody.
That's interesting. Well,
because.
Now, Sharper claimed at the time that he lived his life on the straight and narrow for the first 38 years of his life. He claims.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I don't even know why I went down the path that I did. So at the time, you were a teammate and a locker mate of his. According to him, he wasn't doing any of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't
know. I said that's what he claims.
Right,
that's,
right. Because what would make you all of a sudden after, you know, 38 years of living on the circuit? Because when I was playing with Darren, you know, we were both in our 30s or whatever. So, like, what would make you all of a sudden think, like, this is what I need to do, or this is who I've become, you know, or these thoughts or whatever it may be. I just feel like I'm not buying that one. But I will say there was no signs or anything of that nature. And it's like, it's one of those things where you're like, man, I did not see that coming. Because a lot of times you do see certain signs, right? You might look and see, like, you know, you look at the Hernandez situation and you start to say, all right, this dude, he's hanging with some shady people, and you got to wonder about what he's doing, you know, off the field. And then all the stuff happens with him and you go,
He pleaded guilty in federal court in New Orleans to drugging 3 women so he could rape them. He also pleaded guilty or no contest in state courts in Louisiana, Arizona, California, and Nevada to charges arising from allegations of drugging and raping women. He's been sentenced. He's been in jail since February of 2014.
Yeah.
He's been sentenced to 18 years.
And I'm surprised he didn't go down the CTE route as a defense.
He didn't. I mean,
because you just said, a person change?
Right.
If you wanted to go down that road, I think you could argue,
right,
that's brain damage.
I wasn't in my right mind, something
happened. But yeah, my guess, I don't know. I don't.
It's just like when you start to, you know, and we're not trying to make any comparison to Ryan O'Callaghan. We're just saying, you know, you have to hide something, right?
Right.
And it's like,
yeah. Now his claim is when he was playing, that was never a part of his life,
right?
I have a hard time
believing that. But I will tell you this. Like I said, his locker was right next to mine, and there was nothing glaring. You know, even in a conversation, like you would maybe somebody would slip up in a conversation and not incriminate themselves, but you would just be like, yo, dude, what did he just say?
Well, like Bill Cosby, the Spanish, he had the joke about it, basically, putting it in a woman's drink. Yeah. It was sort of part of his act.
Spanish
like,
fly.
Right. If that happened with Sharper, you might go, yeah, he did say that one time, and you don't obviously have that.
Right, and you know, there was so, that, like I said, and there was nothing that would, you know, just at least on the surface of what you saw, you go, really?
All right, we'll get a lot lighter when we come back on the other side.
Good.
617-779-7937. No, we're going to talk about education shaming.
What's that now?
Education shaming.
I feel like I've been education shamed a lot.
See, and like, you're not the only victim of that, Wiggy. I'll give you an example when we come back after Trending Now.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
Tell me who's on that show.
Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe.
Who?
Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
On WEEI.
Chase Winovich is a rookie on the New England Patriots and a guy who I think he'll become a fan favorite. I promise you he'll become a media favorite.
Yes.
If he's not already a media favorite.
He's pretty popular with the fans.
He's approachable. He's enthusiastic. He's energetic. He seems to like to talk. They haven't beaten that out of him yet. I mean, the veterans on the team.
Or Bill.
They will. Or Bill. So Winovich took to Instagram yesterday. And he Instagrammed out a photo of himself with his long blonde hair and wearing his Patriots uniform on the bench. And he wrote, "Loneliness is young ambition's ladder, whereto the climber upward turn his face. But when he once attains the upmost round, he then unto the ladder turns his back, looks in the clouds, scorning the base degrees by which he did ascend." Julius Caesar, Act 2, Scene 1, Shakespeare. To which Tom Brady responded, "Study your playbook." And to which Winovich, to his credit, immediately responded, "Yes, Dad, right away."
Well, we should add a little context. They both are Michigan guys.
Well, both Michigan
and
guys. Brady was using him a lot at training camp down there after practice. "Hey, come out and get this pad." Right.
Hits you him know, and
hit,
stuff.
Hit my arm here when I'm trying to make this pass.
Right. And so they got a big buddy, little buddy, alumni.
Right. They probably
whatever.
Had a pretty good relationship when he was playing at Michigan because Brady went down there a few times, spoke to the team.
Right. So, you know, they have a good relationship, so he's kind of busting his chops on Twitter.
All right. So what is Winovich doing? Quoting Julius Caesar, Act 2, Scene 1.
Well, he's smart.
Hey, he went to Michigan.
To Michigan. Brady went to Michigan, too.
Are you saying Brady's not smart?
Well, his answer was, "Study your playbook."
But Brady's pretty smart.
I don't see him quoting Shakespeare.
Well, he could if he wanted to. Well, you could quote Shakespeare. Well, look it up and quote it.
That is true.
It's not like you have to do it off the top of your head. Go ahead. Give me a Shakespeare.
The Four Agreements is Brady's Shakespeare, I think. The book of Four Agreements.
Which is not quite Shakespeare.
Yes, and I went to Georgia.
I've read bits and pieces of the Four Agreements. Yeah, it's not the same.
But Brady can quote that, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I went to Georgia, which is a little different.
What did you quote?
We didn't quote Shakespeare.
What'd you quote?
We quoted maybe Outkast.
Dr. Seuss.
Over Baghdad.
So, I mean, it's a little good-natured.
All the players play far and wide.
It's a little good-natured back and forth. I was trying to figure out what Winovich was going for.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been real good at the interpretation of all of Shakespeare's lines.
Well, you just better be able to get to the quarterback because all this is going to be for naught if you can't.
That is actually 100% accurate. The long hair, the quoting, the funny, the personality goes out the window if you suck.
You better be the next Clay Matthews.
Or at least the next Rob Ninkovich.
He at least looks like the next Clay Matthews. Right. I mean, with the hair and all that stuff.
And he had, a sack and a half in the first preseason game? But everybody for them had a sack.
Right.
In that
game. Did you see a sack? It was like the offensive lineman. That's one of those Ole sacks.
Hey, yes.
Here you go. Here's the path right to the quarterback.
Yeah. But did you see Barstool also got involved? Barstool did a post on the Brady Winovich back and forth.
Well, that's because Portnoy's a Michigan guy.
Well, but then they said something like, and you may have this, I may have this, I had it somewhere, but you know, Brady the veteran, Winovich the nerd or something. And Winovich made some, replied to them with a comment about how, you know, the unionization scandal they're of involved with in
Alexandria
with AOC.
Ocasio.
And he took a shot. Glad, you know, you had time to take
some credit for,
me too.
First of all, being up on what's going on in the world, but.
I think he's a pretty smart guy. I wanted to look it up. I think he's one of those, like, academic types.
Yeah, I watched the show that, All for One, whatever the Michigan show is.
You've been watching a lot of Michigan. You want Harbaugh to be the coach.
Well, not the Michigan,
talking about his house.
But they do a lot of it. I think it's on Hulu or whatever streaming device it's on, where they did Notre Dame, they did Florida State, and they're, you know, Michigan. So you get to kind of see his personality, and I think that's where a lot of it came from. And he had, like, this, you know, big, bubbly personality when he was playing for Michigan. So
they showed him on campus.
Yeah, and he died.
Oh, is that where I saw that recently?
Yeah, I see
when,
that.
When we were down at Gillette on Monday, okay, it was on the monitor down there.
And he had glasses on. He's walking around campus with his coffee. He looked sort of like that.
Yeah, that's
what is this guy? Is he an athlete? Yeah. Is he a nerd?
Well, they go from, like, they haven't, then every year they go to different schools. So it was Michigan. Before that, it was Florida State. Before that, it was Notre Dame. And so it's almost like their version of Hard Knocks.
Right. You going to buy a Winovich jersey? 50. It's a good line in New England, right? Vrabel.
You mean N'Keal Harry doesn't get to wear it?
Yeah.
No.
See, I'm not a huge fan of 50. I think he could have came
55.
55 is pretty good.
56. Tip won't let that happen.
No.
That's got to be
tight. What was Katzenmoyer's 58?
Yes, Katzenmoyer was 50. Was he 58?
To this day. To this day, I see Katzenmoyer jerseys at Gillette on a game day.
Oh. I was in high school when he was drafted. That was an exciting time when he was at Ohio State. He wore 44. He was like the next big thing. Then
he
kind of tailed
Brian
off.
Bosworth.
Right. Then he kind of tailed off a little bit.
I walked in the camp like, God.
Everybody thought he was legit.
He plays middle linebacker.
Yes.
And I'm like, man. And then I was like, ooh, this look like Tarzan.
Play like, don't say it, it's offensive.
Oh, is it? I put it like this, and I was like, ooh, he stank. He not very good. No, he's not good at all. And I was like, but he is big. He had the big neck roll and everything. But
then you ran right by him, caught a pass.
Yeah,
laughed at him on your way by.
It's weird that you see players like that, you know, and he was one of those players that, you know, you see a bunch of those in the league that you come out, and you're like, man. In shorts, the, you know, running around with his helmet on, and, you know, OTAs, you're like, oh man, that dude looks good.
The right.
Bus players.
The series is called All or Nothing.
All or Nothing. That's it.
It's on Amazon Prime. Yes.
He was close.
Yeah, I was. I said all.
He said streaming device.
You were in the ballpark.
But yeah, Katzenmoyer was one of those. I can't believe you still see Katzenmoyer jerseys.
Oh, I have. Wow. Every time, and I go to, you know, several home games a year. I always see at least one. Katzenmoyer jersey.
He was up there with, like, the what was it? Was his name Tony Mandrich?
Yeah,
he was up there, like, because I saw the. Did you ever see the documentary on him? He was up there in that category, like on the cover.
Was he that whacked though?
No,
the whole Mandrich thing was.
Well,
weird.
Have you ever seen it? It's actually pretty good. I think it was ESPN or something who did it, but. In the sense of, like, college players that were coming into the league with all this hype, you know, Katzenmoyer was up there, and he wasn't able to do – he didn't do anything in the league. When I think
no. And then he had a neck injury, I want to say, that kind of derailed his career. But who was he drafted? Was it Woody? Is that the same? Yeah, Damian Woody, and then they took Andy Katzenmoyer. So you had a BC guy and then a big name guy. I was excited about that draft. I was like,
Katzenmoyer.
Damian Woody ended up being the player.
Yeah, he had
much
a good
better
career.
Player.
He was a top 20 draft pick though? Wasn't Woody like top 20?
Oh yeah, he was like 17.
Yeah, so I mean Woody came out
the only 17th pick in the draft.
The only problem is he had troubles snapping shots.
Yeah, they had to switch Compton.
So
he
had to move
him.
Compton.
It moves a little bit of a tell.
Yeah. Oh, I guess they're going shotgun.
Yeah, he'd have a. It seems like he'd have a hard time playing center in the NFL today. You'd have to move him.
Or
the gun
for
right
Bill
away.
Belichick.
You know how sometimes they go in the gun and then they pretend they're coming back under center. Well, if you knew what was coming, you knew it.
Always on the center with him.
Did he have an illegal issue? By the way,
who Katzenmoyer?
Because the first time I Googled Katzenmoyer, you know how photos pop up on the right side, and one of them certainly looks like a mugshot.
I don't know.
And I didn't I don't really know what his history was.
Katzenmoyer was 59, by the way, not 58. But either way, he couldn't play. So there's a fine piece on WEEI.com I recommend for your edification about 12 things to look for in the second Patriots preseason game tomorrow night.
Why do you think I did 12? Not that I did it. I mean, I did it.
I get it.
Because 12 might play. See what I did there? Dirty dozen, baby.
See what you got there. I mean, we're all in agreement. We think Brady's going to play a series or two tomorrow night, right?
And Isaiah Wynn, a series or two.
Isn't that the most important thing to look for tomorrow night? Isaiah Wynn?
That's pretty high up there to see if he can play because I'm
You think he plays a series or two? I feel like he plays longer.
Who?
Wynn
or Brady?
Wynn.
Maybe a little bit longer.
I think Wynn will play more.
Maybe a little bit longer.
Maybe like the first half.
You don't have much time here. But he hasn't practiced that much. That's the one thing. He's just started to really get into the 11-on-11 reps, and he's still sort of splitting those with Dan Skipper.
And I mentioned this yesterday, Wiggy, when you weren't on this show because you ditched us.
He had a better time slot.
I understand.
Yeah, it was golfing.
That Matt Chatham, who was down there in Nashville covering this, was watching Wynn, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, Isaiah Wynn is going to be a monster. And he was all in watching Wynn against the Tennessee Titans and how he was playing.
And Chatham knows his stuff now.
Absolutely.
I mean, people want to, you know, they might want to clown on Chatham or whatever, but Chatham knows his X's and O's. And when he says that, you know, okay, this guy's going to, you know, be a monster, you got to take that a little bit and be like, all right, now I got to keep an eye on him.
So he's a fantasy sleeper at left tackle.
Well, no, I mean, he's...
He's the key to the offense.
It's it sounds like it, and he's going to be the left tackle.
Here's Matt Chatham's entire tweet yesterday. Isaiah Wynn is going to be an absolute monster. Only seen him do a couple days of close-to-live speed reps, but he's basically as he was pre-injury. Incredibly quick feet for a big man. Cuts off every rush and anchors unusually well versus power. Quick in the box also. Gets to blocks others wouldn't.
Well, then there you go. You talked about Sony Michel and the ability to run the football at the hole in the potential hole at the left tackle. You know, we'll find out tomorrow, like what he looks like. You know what Isaiah Wynn looks like.
And was it this week a year ago that he tore his Achilles? Was it week two of the preseason?
Oh, how to go there?
I'm just saying it's basically about a year since he tore it. So he's back now. He sort of deemed himself 100% the other day talking to the media.
And I know that Achilles is usually one of the hardest things to come back from. But as a lineman, it might be a little bit different. You know, we've seen Vince Wilfork come back from it later in his career. So maybe Isaiah Wynn might be something that he's, a little bit easier for him to come back to, not just because he's younger, but because he's a lineman and he's not really asked to run far.
But yeah, I would say in terms of the long-term coming out of this game, that's probably number one on the list.
The other part added to the Matt Chatham review was Field Yates said basically, and I'm paraphrasing again, after watching Wynn for a couple of practices, said, you know, scratch the Patriots off the list of teams looking to get Trent Williams. They don't need to.
Right.
We're talking about a guy who's been in 7 Pro Bowls, but he also makes 11
million. So it sounds like pretty high praise for Isaiah Wynn. I mean, but he was good at Georgia. You know,
I mean,
he was really good. Left tackle, and everybody
that's
says,
facing Alabama, and that's facing teams like that.
Right, and then, you know, everybody talk about, he's not big enough, he's not this. Well, Matt Light wasn't the biggest guy.
T-Rex arms.
Yeah, I mean, but it doesn't matter. If you can lock him in and drop the anchor.
Correct.
You can control him wherever you want him to go, that's where you'll take him.
And Dante has found a way to make it all work, whether it's Matt Light, who's undersized, which position does he play, short arms, or the behemoths of Nate Solder, Trent Brown, you know, even Vollmer at right tackle. He's had all different kinds, and he finds a way to make it work.
The other thing I read about the 2 days of joint practices was that the guy happiest to see the Patriots leave town will be Marcus Mariota. Because supposedly the Patriots secondary just tortured him. He couldn't do anything against
them. Well, they're pretty good now, you know.
They're really good.
Well, that's the other spot. I don't know if it was on this show we talked about is the secondary, right? Who potentially could be somebody that's out? I know a lot of people are saying, what's the kid from...
Jonathan Jones?
No, the kid from Florida.
Duke Dawson.
Duke Dawson, right? A lot of people say maybe Duke Dawson. I had mentioned, well, maybe, you know, Jason McCourty better be careful because...
He got $5 million guaranteed. He ain't going nowhere.
Oh, he got $5 million guaranteed?
I believe it's just over $5 million. Well, so that says
mind.
He's staying.
Yeah, never mind.
No, but you're right. Your bigger picture question is right, and this could loop into Dale's thing, who wants Bill Belichick to be on the trade hunt for pass catchers.
Some sort of pass catcher. Tight end, wide receiver.
Well, maybe you don't just have to do, oh, I'll send you a fifth-round pick for somebody. Maybe, oh,
you got a DB.
You guys need a corner? I got about six corners that are NFL ready.
Right.
I got second-round picks from the last 2 years. I got more corners than I got roster spots. Hey, I'll swap you one if you got a pass catcher for a pass stopper.
Do they do a lot of that, though?
Sometimes.
Swapping players? Okay.
Why is the NFL guy asking?
I don't know.
I didn't really think that was something in the NFL.
Not huge. Right. I mean, it's more common for a draft pick for a guy, but sometimes you can find just, you know, your need matches their, you know, surplus, and your surplus matches their need.
What else you got is coming up next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Wiggy, I'll let you start. You might want to turn your mic on, just a thought. Yeah. There we go.
Let's see. I'm going to start right here because I didn't have nothing else.
wow, way to sell it.
I like this honesty, though.
It says, Jamie Foxx, he has the scoop on when we will see Ezekiel Elliott. That's what Jamie Foxx is saying. Foxx says that he has sources that tell him a deal will be done soon. So it looks like Jamie Foxx could be breaking. If you don't know who Jamie Foxx is, the actor, but he said,
I was going to say, what would he know?
Oh, he got connections.
Well, he's a Cowboys fan, if you didn't know that.
Okay.
He could also be full of crap.
Pretty much.
Yep, but he's saying that he has sources that saying a deal will be done soon.
Yeah, the NFL got a little running back issue, huh? Ezekiel Elliott, not in it. Melvin Gordon? Not in it.
And the Gordon thing doesn't sound close at all.
No.
And, well, Ezekiel's didn't until...
Well, now that Jamie Foxx has broken it, I guess it's almost going to be done. Or not.
What else you got? What else you got?
Your turn.
So earlier in the show, Wiggy's cliche was better... What was it? Better 12-shooter carried by six men?
I'd rather be judged... Close enough. I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Okay, so mine is two birds, one stone.
Okay, I've heard that
much
before.
More common.
I've heard that one.
So the Patriots might need a quarterback, correct? In the near future?
Yes.
At some point, they will.
And the Red Sox could always use pitching, correct?
Yes. Sure.
I offer you exhibit number 1, or A, however they do it in the court system.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of two-sport athletes. Bo Jackson, greatest athlete that ever played, loved him.
Deion Sanders.
And now, Florida Gators starting quarterback Felipe Franks.
Okay.
Who was also drafted by the Boston Red Sox. As a flame-throwing pitcher, even though he hasn't pitched, I think, since high school or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he can still throw the ball. What better solution to the greater New England-Boston sports issues than draft a Gator to be a starting quarterback and a pitcher for your Red Sox? So watch college football because the Gators, they're like a top 10 program now. They're back, baby.
And I figure Belichick wouldn't have any problems with, you know, one of his players, you know, playing with the Red Sox during OTAs.
He's just closing, though. So, you know, it's like he'll close.
And right? I'm sure the Red Sox wouldn't have any problem with their closer leaving the team when training camp starts for Bill Belichick, right?
They need pitching, so they got to get over.
Deion did it, and he did it. Pretty successful.
Bo did it. Didn't last long. He hurt. Probably a counterexample.
Busted his hip up. But
he didn't achieve anything in either because he got hurt.
What else you got?
So the Baltimore Ravens and the Green Bay Packers were holding joint workouts this week, which, by the way, Aaron Rodgers hates. They played a preseason game last night. If you haven't seen the highlights, go on Twitter. See the Lamar Jackson touchdown run last night.
It's not Madden. It's him.
No. It's really him. Of course, he had three different receivers open that he elected to not pass to, but that's beside the point.
And it's preseason. Why are you running?
Yeah, why are you running? In fact, Aaron Rodgers said after the game, you need to slide, son. You need to get down, son, and he probably does. But Lamar Jackson had some nice things to say about Aaron Rodgers as well.
Well, I did. After the game, I seen him, but it was pretty cool. I was like, what's up, GOAT, as soon as I seen him. You know, Aaron Rodgers, what's up, GOAT, greatest of all time.
Excuse me?
You know, there's a lot of GOATs out here, but you know, it's... It's Aaron Rodgers, so I got to show my respect. it was pretty cool seeing him. He was like, he loved watching me play. He was like, hope I have a great season. Get down. I was like, yeah, I know where you're coming from. Like, yeah, I understand.
He's telling him to dance.
Get down. Get
pretty
down.
Impressive, his run.
It's very impressive, right. But...
can you throw the football?
No, no, no. More importantly,
he chooses not to on many occasions.
Where's your head at? Goat, excuse me?
Well,
there's only one goat.
He's there. That is true. He's there. He's feeling good about meeting Aaron Rodgers.
See, he's EST. It's
he
the highest
seems like
of the
It seems like he would throw goat around loosely. So if it was Brady. Or Drew Brees. You know, so,
so he's a fraud. His opinion's not worth anything.
All right, that too. OMF is down at Fenway Park this afternoon. Red Sox manager Alex Cora will join them at 2:30. Wig, it's good to see you again.
Always
we'll see
a pleasure.
You again soon. 2:15, I'm sorry. Thank you. 2:15 is when Alex Cora will join them. I will see you at Gillette Stadium on Monday.
Looking forward to it.
Rich Keefe will be back as well. Goodbye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.